Rick is so wild and has went so far off the meter. It's shit that I can't even tell you on TV. I mean, you know, like, for the sake of our friendship, you know what I'm saying? I'm not even gonna bring it up. But trust me, he's went there. He has went where it's like, yo, Rick, man, what the fuck is wrong with you, man? You done took this shit too far. And his response is like this. There's no such place. Darkness. Let's go to the abyss, nigga! I'm not with it, man. I don't want to go to the abyss, man. You know what I'm saying? Rick wants to go to the abyss. In fact, he dwells in the abyss. Rick James dwells in the abyss. Okay? And he wants company. Sometimes. You know, and for some reason, he likes to reach out for me. Whenever I'm around, when he wants to go there, he will reach out for me, try to take me to the abyss with him. And I'm not with it, man. I'm not with it. And that's when we end up, you know, tussling or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Man. Now, they have been reunited, so to speak. Oh, my God, man. The news today. Rest in peace, Charlie Murphy. We got the news today. That Charlie Murphy, Eddie Murphy's older brother, passed away earlier today from leukemia. Totally was out of nowhere. Real quick, mic check 1, 2. What the business is. Welcome to another episode of MDX Podcast. I'm Maurice Prophet.
And I'm Danny Dang.
And, and at the top of the show right there, I was just us, you know, paying a little tribute to Charlie Murphy, a great comedian, hilarious. Man, I was crazy today, man, because, you know, the shit kind of took me back to, like, when Prince died, because it was like out of nowhere, middle of the day type shit, like, I was, like, not ready for, you know, and, like, me personally, I came back from, I had to call my mom's. I called the OG and I was talking to her and I came back to my desk and then I pop up on Facebook and I see someone wrote something about Charlie Murphy dying, and you know, immediately I Google it and I see that it's TMZ talking about it, but you know, like, that's a little suspect at times. And so I made my stats what it was in terms of, like, you know, tell me this is just an internet hoax.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody started co-signing. I'm like, damn.
I didn't even know he was sick.
I didn't know it either.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Folks were saying that he was sick for a while, and I'm like, I had no idea he was sick.
Yeah, neither did I. Actually, I mean, he fell off, so to speak, because, you know, Chappelle's show got canceled and all that, but that was, like, years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so...
I mean, he was still doing his thing, like, on the comedy circuit. Like, he was still getting booked. But he wasn't, like, on the...
Yeah.
That main platform that he was during Chappelle, because Chappelle's show gave him that was a shot of adrenaline into his career.
Right.
Because
a lot of people's careers.
Hell yeah. But I remember, when I was a kid, and I kind of told the story on the thread. When I was a kid, he was in this movie called The Kid Who Loved Christmas, and I loved that movie. I watched it every year. And I remember my brother telling me, you see that guy there? And the thing is, Charlie Murphy only had, like, literally one line in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother was like, you see that guy there? That's Eddie Murphy's brother. I'm like, what? I'm like, no way, dude! And because I was an Eddie Murphy mark when I was a kid, I would just focus, just look at Charlie the whole time, like, damn, that's Eddie Murphy's brother! And I swear to God, bro, like, after that movie came out, and, like, after, like, you know, whatever... I never see him until Chappelle's show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh shit, Charlie Murphy. What? You know what I mean? And then, yeah, then, like you said, after Chappelle went off, he kind of went into obscurity a little bit and just kept it low key. So, I mean, obviously he was getting, he was getting checks. He was doing well for himself, but man, G, it was like, what? It just went outside my head real quick.
Right.
Holy shit. But rest in peace, Charlie Murphy, man. Another a great comic legend that's been taken away from us and has gone home. How you been, brother?
I'm just chilling, man.
Yeah, man.
Just been chilling.
I see you did the damn thing over at Defy.
Dude, let's talk about Defy real quick. Let's talk about, like, all right, so for those of you who don't know, Defy, we've talked about Defy before, but Defy is a up-and-coming indie wrestling promotion out here in Seattle. And they had their second show on Friday, last Friday, and I went to it, of course, and the main event was, it was supposed to be Davey Richards versus Pentagon Jr.
Okay.
So that was like the booked main event. It was booked for months, right? And then it got all crazy. So Davey Richards is from Seattle, so they're trying to make it like a Seattle thing, right?
Oh, he's from Seattle?
Yeah, Davey Richards is from, well, he's from Othello, which is like a small town in like central Washington.
Oh, word. Okay, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, so he's from out there. And he came to Defy 1 and basically announced that he was going to be at Defy 2. So I thought that was kind of cool. And then they booked like his wife, Angelina Love. So she had a match on Friday. Jeff Cobb was there, and then Shane Strickland, aka Killshot, from Lucha Underground, he's from here too.
That's dope.
He's been kind of a big name that's kind of been doing a lot of the stuff as well. So basically what happened was, like, the night before the show, so last Thursday, almost a week from today, we get notification that Pentagon Jr. is not coming because he had like some family emergency thing come up. And I'm sitting here like, oh my goodness, what's gonna happen, right?
They've been
building this whole show on the fact that David Richards is fighting Pentagon Jr. So I'm on Twitter, you know, looking it up and stuff, and then I see that Jeff Cobb is having issues with his flight. And I'm like, what is going to happen?
Was it overbooked?
We'll
get to that later.
It got canceled for something. I don't remember what it was.
Could have got overbooked, right? They needed to.
No, it was a Delta flight. It was a Delta flight.
Oh, okay. So he got there safe.
Whatever it was, he was just like not coming or trying to come to Seattle.
Right.
So then we show up, and then it's just like, well, what's going to happen, you know? And then the promoter gets on the mic, and he's just, because Pentagon Jr. was part of the meet and greet as well. So, like, paid for it. And so
he
gets on the mic while all the VIP people are just chilling, you know, we're just hanging out. And then he goes, hey, like, you know, Pentagon Jr. isn't going to be here as we've announced. All this stuff. And then he goes, he's just like, so we've worked it out with Pentagon. And so Pentagon Jr. actually like sent a video, that they posted onto their Instagram, basically saying like, sorry, I can't make it. Like things went down. So I've got to like tend to those matters, which is fine. I mean, as a wrestling fan, you know, things happen, right? So you always get the disclaimer, card subject to change and all that stuff. So you can't be too mad about it, you know?
Right.
So, and I guess in the video, he was like, you know, I'll be back soon and all this and that. And then I guess he wasn't supposed to say anything, but he's like, I'm coming back in June. It was supposed to be like he spoiled it, you know? and he was like,
oops.
Yeah, so he spoiled it. And then he was like, oh, and I'm not coming alone. He's like, I'm bringing someone. And the someone that he's bringing is Phoenix. So they're coming as the Lucha Brothers.
Nice.
So I was like, oh, snap. And then so they were like, yeah, so that's going to happen. And then they were like, everyone that bought the VIP and all that stuff with the meet and greet, we've worked it out with Pentagon, and he's basically going to sign an 8x10 personalized, and then we're going to send it off to everyone.
A word?
And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I was like, I don't know how they're going to do that, but...
Wait, he do that for VIP people?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like an indie show, right? So you're like, well, how are they going to pull that off?
Right.
And, they're like, you know, more news to come in this and that. And then, on Sunday, we actually got an email that was like, hey, like, you know, you purchased the VIP ticket. We just need this information and we'll send everything out to you. So they actually like went through with it. I haven't gotten anything. Obviously, it's only been a couple days, but
yeah,
you know, they actually said something about it. So I was like, this is kind of cool. So I didn't think they were going to come through with it at all, to be honest.
Right.
But Defy, man, they're getting crazy out there. The main event ended up being Davey Richards versus Jeff Cobb. So Jeff Cobb made it.
Okay.
And then he had a match. The match of the night was Shane Strickland, Killshot, versus Leo Rush, little indie guy.
I'm about to say, who's that?
Leo Rush, he does a lot of... He's been in ROH. He's been all over the place. Okay. He was Maryland Championship Wrestling Tag Champions with, what's his face, Patrick Clark for a while.
Oh, the brother from NXT.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, not NXT. Tough Enough.
Yeah, but he's in NXT now.
Yeah, I was about to say Turbo Ground. Yeah. I have no idea what Turbo Ground even is. That's about to come out of my mouth, though. yeah, from Tough Enough.
He's just little dude. He's like, I don't know. He's probably like 5'4".
Like, who?
Leo Rush.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah, just this little dude. But him and Shane Strickland put on like basically the best match I've ever seen live. It really? Was that good. Yeah, and you know how many wrestling shows I've been to.
Hell yeah, right.
It was one of the best wrestling matches I've ever seen.
Shit.
Yeah, so okay. That was really cool. And then during...
Who went over?
Shane Strickland won.
Okay.
I think they're trying to build it around him because he's a Seattle guy.
Yeah, yeah, you're local, right.
Yeah, so that's what... I feel like that's what they're trying to do. Like, Defy 3 is called Swerve City.
Swerve!
Because he goes by Swerve as well. So, it's gonna be, like, all about him. And then... So then they announced at Defy 2 who his opponent was gonna be and what the main event is. And it's gonna be freaking Shane Strickland versus John Morrison.
Word?
Yeah, and then they were like, and tickets, shit. And they're like, and tickets go on sale right now. And so, like, everyone ran out and, like
oh, get, you know, tickets.
Yeah, tried to buy tickets. So I was able to cop some. And I guess they're going to base it off of where you've previously sat. And so I'm hoping that I'm going to get, like, the exact seats that I've been sitting in, because that's what I'm trying to do. Me and my homies, like, we're trying to be those guys that sit in the same seats every single time.
Yeah, you're trying to be hat guy, sign guy.
Yeah. Brock Lesnar guy,
Square Circle guy, all those.
You know, so...
But you got to wear the same shit, though. That's the only thing for you. You have to rock the same clothes.
Oh, no, I don't do that.
Right, I'm about to say, how you going to do that, though?
Oh, see, because I just wear, like, who's there. I'm not trying to, you know, I just want to sit in the same seats.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's funny, though, because everyone there, like, they've kind of established, like, their own little thing. So, like, me and my homies, we sit in the one section, and then there's, like, another group of people. They call themselves the Streamer Club, and so they bring streamers for, like, everything.
Oh, did they do, like, Japanese style where they throw it into the ring?
Yeah, but that's only supposed to, like, be done for championship matches, but they do it for, like, everyone.
Oh, God.
Like, when Davey Richards came out, they did, like, Seattle colors, and, like, when Shane Strickland came out, they did Seattle colors. And then, like, one guy, he's, like, he's not, like, a gay character, but I don't even know how to explain what he does.
A little gay-ish.
Ish. So they did, like, rainbow streamers for him, which was pretty cool. And so, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff. The best part of the whole show was, so there was a triple threat women's match. And it was Kate Carney, who is a local indie person, and Sue Young, who is married to Rich Swann.
Oh, hell yeah.
And Angelina Love. So that was, like, the triple threat women's match.
Pretty badass.
So the ladies all come out, and Angelina Love's on the top rope, like, doing her entrance thing, and the lights, like, flash and go out, and then the fire alarm goes off.
Oh, God.
And we're like,
They're like, oh, this is not a work.
Yeah, we're
this
like,
not work, guys. This is a total shoot.
So everyone's just kind of sitting there because we didn't really know what to do. And then they're all like, everyone needs to like evacuate the building because, like, you know, this is a fire
right.
type of thing. And Soo Young. So Soo Young, I don't know if you've ever seen anything that she does or what her character is. But she goes by the undead bride. So she's like a dead bride.
Like a zombie or some shit like that?
Yeah, something like that. So she's all weird, right? And
yeah.
The whole time we're all evacuating the building and she's still in the ring and she's like screaming at people. Like still in character, like
she's dedicated to the gimmick.
Right. And like she's like taking bumps by herself. And then awesome. Like everyone gets outside, she's like still in there, like just going on, like just doing random stuff.
That is dope.
Yeah, and then so then they cleared everything, they got everyone back, and then they're getting ready to start the show up again, and it's hosted by a local radio personality. His name is Steve Miggs. He's a huge wrestling fan. He was at WrestleMania and he was interviewing like Corey Graves. So he was like, and every time WWE and whatever comes here, he'll bring them onto the radio station and like do interviews with them.
Okay.
So he's in the ring and he's like, all right, guys, you know, show's going to start soon. And then he's like, we're all amongst family here. He goes, all right. Who was smoking weed in the bathroom? Because that's what set the alarm off.
Oh, that's what it was?
Yes, I guess somebody was smoking in the bathroom and like it set the alarm off.
Hey, y'all motherfuckers gonna wait, man, or go outside, go to the car?
Go outside, do something, because it's a small venue. It's not like you have to leave like a huge stadium and then come back in. But it was, dude, it was hilarious.
Wow.
But I mean, we got back and the show went off and it was all good. But Defy, man, they're like, it's getting big out here at least. Like people are traveling Portland, Vancouver, like they're starting to travel for this and Defy 3 is almost sold out.
Word, really?
Yeah. So like whatever they're doing, like they need to keep doing it.
So they're really making this like a, like, you know, it's kind of like Seattle's version of ECW in Philadelphia. Like, Philadelphia, like, ECW was synonymous with Philadelphia and vice versa.
You can think of it as the Pacific Northwest PWG.
Okay. All right.
That's basically, like, what do you guys have over there? The AAW or whatever that is?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically that over here.
Okay.
Which we've never had. Like, we've never had anything, like, super big. You know, we have, like, a bunch of little small, like, kind of gimmicky wrestling things, but nothing like an actual wrestling, like, that brings in, like huge names.
Like a home.
Right.
Like, this is, like the home base. Like,
yeah.
A home base promotion for you guys.
Right. There. Right, and I mean, like, Daniel Bryan tweets about it and all that stuff. And so, like, it's, I mean, we're getting out there. I look at their Twitter, and, like, there's wrestlers that are like, you guys need to book me. Like, bring me in. Like, I'm trying to wrestle there. So, I mean, like I said, man, they're getting put on. So, it'll be interesting to see where it goes and all that.
You know, like, I like promotions like that. You know, there's a promotion that's in Milwaukee, GLCW,
mm-hmm.
and it's pretty much similar to like what you're talking about. Like it's a very like, you know, GLCW is like the home base of the Milwaukee area, wrestling crowd, like, you know, indie wrestling, pretty
mm-hmm.
much,
mm-hmm.
and like it's grown so much, like they even have like their own like they have this event called Blizzard Brawl that happens every December. It's basically like the independent version of WrestleMania. Like, all top indie guys, mm-hmm. and even TNA guys, go there to wrestle every December. But the thing is, though, is that, like, you kind of see that in pockets of the United States. You see that with ROH. You see it with GLCW. You see it with PWG, like what you said. You saw it back in the day with, with ECW. But ECW was, like, kind of on a bigger scale, you know,
right.
For the indie scene. But like, you have these pockets that have, like, this really intense fan base. These really, like these wrestling promotions that really have their own identity, you know, to that area. Mm-hmm. Where, so, it's not like Defy is, like, gonna be that for you guys. Like, that's gonna be, like, the, like, what identifies Pacific Northwest wrestling, yep. basically.
Yep, pretty you know much. Pretty much. It's cool, though, because I know the booker.
Yeah.
So it's cool to like. So me and my buddy Mike went. We went to one, and then we went to two together, and then we brought our friend along, Manuel, who actually listens to the podcast. Word up! And
well, Manuel,
he was just. It was like his first like real indie show, and he was just like, "Whoa, dude, this is crazy." Because we took him to like a really crappy indie show. A couple months ago, and it was just like, I mean, it was pretty bad. And yeah. we took him to this one, and he was just like, yep, I'm in every time. Yeah, it's like every time. It's just crazy. And then I posted on Facebook, like, I bought a Defy shirt, and I was wearing it the next day, and I was out to lunch with some people, and this dude just walks up to me and goes, bro, were you at the show last night? I was like, yeah, I was at the show last night. And then he was like, dude, is it crazy? And then, like, we were just talking about it. It's just crazy, like... It's crazy how, like, you can meet people that are, like, you know, that like the same shows as you, that like the same movies or books or music, but, like, when you meet another wrestling fan...
Dude, that's a whole different, like, relationship.
It's right.
So, it's like, it's just so, like, legit. And it's so immediate, too. Like, you two click immediately.
It's such a niche thing to like, you know? So, it's like... I don't even know how to explain the connection. Like, I mean, I just look at like me and you and like even Johnny, even though I've known him forever and we actually, I mean, we worked together, but we really connected through wrestling and I wasn't even watching wrestling at the time.
Uh-huh.
Right. But then I look at all the other people that like I've met, quote unquote met or know through like wrestling stuff. Like I'm looking at like the Jans, you know, the Chris O'Mealy's, you know, the Pat McDermott's, like all those guys. Like I've never met them, you know, but I have their phone numbers. We text them, you know, sometimes and like, you know, we can just carry on conversations about, you know, wrestling and this and that, but it's a different bond than like, you know, oh, did you watch this week's episode of, you know, Game of Thrones? Oh, it was like, no, like, this is like completely different. It's hard to explain.
No, I think you're absolutely right, though, about it being a niche group because think about like sports, like sports fans, like, you know, Bears fans, Redskins fans, Seahawks fans. They're all like, you know, it's going to be like, you know, go Bears, go Skins, go Hawks, you know, like,
right.
It's going to be that, like, you know, when you see each other, but that'll be it. Like, it'll be that, and then you just keep on going. It's some of the way when you meet a wrestling fan, that the bond is immediate. Because I think it's because you both know that we're part of a very, I wouldn't say a sacred group. But we're part of a group that is very big, but it's small at the same time.
Right. You know what I think of, and it's you have to live in the state of Washington to understand what it's like, but it's being a Washington State fan.
Okay.
Like anyone who lives in the state of Washington, when you're in Seattle, right, you know, you're on this side of the mountains is what they call it. You're on the other side of the mountains.
Yeah.
And it's all UW, University of Washington. Everything is purple and gold. Like, it's very rare that you will... it's not rare. You see Coug fans, but, like, you're in Seattle. So everything is University of Washington, right?
Right.
And... the moment that you see someone that's a Coug fan, like, if they have Coug gear on, like, if you're walking down the street and you see someone with Seahawks, like, stuff on, most people don't say anything. Like, you may throw, like, a Go Hawks, and people may or may not do anything back to you.
Right.
When you see another Coug fan, and you walk past them, and you guys know, and when you throw out the Go Cougs, it's like... it's the happiest moment of anyone's life. Like, okay. It would be like if you're walking that street and you see someone wearing like a wrestling shirt, like you instantly can be like, oh my goodness. Like, did you watch Raw? Did you watch SmackDown? Or what are you into? Do you watch indie stuff? Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, TNA, this and that. Like, you have such a bond for it. So,
it's immediate,
Right. The same goes for Cougar fans. Cougar fans, it's like, you can walk down the street and you can be anywhere. Anywhere at all. Like, one time me and my brother were in Park City, Utah. And we're walking around and he sees a lady across the street wearing a Coug sweatshirt. Yells across the street, go Cougs! And this lady's like, yeah, go Cougs! You know, it's just like, it's just stuff like that. Like, the last time we were in Virginia, we went shopping and we were just walking in a random store and my brother sees a lady wearing a Cougar shirt. Yeah. And he walks over to her and he's like, go Cougs? And she's like, oh my goodness, go Cougs.
Nice,
we're in Virginia, you know, and she's just like, oh, you know, the game's tonight and I can't wait to watch it and this and that. Yeah. Like, that's what it feels like to me.
Oh yeah. I feel you on that. I feel you. That's how, like, that's how it is with, like, with my fraternity. Mm-hmm. With, when I could be anywhere, you know, anywhere basically in the world. And if I see another man wearing Phi Beta Sigma, then automatically, like, I know I can go up to him. I can say, like, you know, I can say, what's up, frat? We give each other the secret handshake. And then, you know, say from there, it's all good. You know, like, then we can, like, you know, just, like, do, like, the regular right. What chapter are you from? Where'd you pledge? What years you crossed? You know, all that good shit and everything. But that's the thing, though. It's, like, it's an immediate connection. And that's how it is with, like, with the Cougar situation, with Washington State, and with wrestling as well, too. You know, like, when you see that other guy, you know, like, the other girl, whomever it is that likes the same shit that you're into when it comes to, especially pro wrestling, like, that's a bond that just, like, it happens immediately. You know what to say, you know how to act, and, you know, like, you know how to connect with each other, and that doesn't happen anywhere else. That doesn't happen with a lot of things at all. You know what I mean? So, I know it's wild how it be that way, but, you know what I'm saying? I hate the people who, like, you ever do this shit? Because, like, you ever, like, overhear people talking about wrestling? And, like, they just really suck at it?
Yes.
And you want to jump into the conversation, but you're like, nah, I don't even want to deal with these fuck asses.
You don't want to be that guy?
right. Like, oh my god. This, I was at the store. This is some months ago. I was at some produce store, and I was buying a whole bunch of vegetables and shit. The two dudes behind me, there was some major douchebags, right?
Mm-hmm.
Major douchebags. And they were talking behind me. And so this one guy, you know what it was? It was one guy was a closet fan. But he didn't want to be all out there to his buddy. Because he felt embarrassed about being a closet fan.
Oh my goodness.
Because when he was talking about wrestling with his buddy kept kind of, like, downplaying the shit.
Mm-hmm.
But dude was kind of, like, with him. Like, yeah, it's kind of crazy. But, man, this one time we went to... Because he was talking about WrestleMania 9. And I'm listening to him because he was like, it was back in, like, 92 or 93. It was a WrestleMania. And my dad, he flew me, him and my brother out to Las Vegas. We went to Caesar's Palace to watch it. It was crazy, man. And his buddy's like, this shit sucks now. This is stupid. It's not the same, but man, back then it was fun, man. It was crazy. We saw Hulk Hogan. It was one of the WrestleManias. I can't remember which one it was. But and his buddy's like, still like kind of clowning it.
Mm-hmm.
And dude was like, kind of like semi co-signing with him, you know, to try to still look cool. But at the same time, the inner fan in him was like, nah, I kind of want to talk about this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I felt like turning around, like, I'm asking myself, should I save him? Should I just be like, dude, I feel you. WrestleMania 9, Bret Hart vs. Yokozuna, Hulk Hogan came out, won the world title. What was it like because you were there? That'd be crazy, right? He probably would have pissed his pants if I did that. Because like, the inner fan in him wanted to talk about it so bad, but his buddy wasn't trying to hear that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, but I thought that was kind of tripped out, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I always lead with the fact that I'm a wrestling fan. For me, I just hate, like, dealing with stupid people. And so, like, if I hear people talk about wrestling, like, if it's just something that I don't even want to deal with, I won't even go into it.
Right.
You know, because...
You don't know what to talk about. But, speaking of which, though, last week, you know, we did our WrestleMania wrap-up for the weekend. And, excuse me, I'm sorry, I just had, like, had some water right now, but I didn't want to burp you, and y'all was here. We got quite a bit of feedback from last week's conversation.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, we got quite a bit. It was like we may have, like, enticed, some intrigue from some of our female listeners.
Uh-oh.
You know, when it came to our John Cena Nikki Bella.
Oh!
So, I'm going to go over a few of these if you don't mind.
No, let's do it.
And I always say, I'm about to show it right now. If y'all send us a little something, whether it could be one sentence, one paragraph, one page, if y'all send it to us, we'll read it and we'll shout you out and we'll show you some love. Melissa Ramirez said, LOL, you guys are such John Cena and Nikki haters.
Yes, continue.
Very much. Very accurate.
Great observation.
Right. Like, bingo.
How did you know?
Teresa Saavedra says, just started listening this morning. I'm not happy. Oh, wait. This is more. Okay. Well, this is not about... It's not about John Cena.
Oh.
I'll read this one after, though.
Oh, she wasn't happy about Bayley, right?
Yeah. What, did you want to do that right now, or?
Sure, we can just do it all. I don't care.
Fuck it. All right. All
right, it's our show. Okay. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah. Right. It's our show, bitch. All right. Teresa Vedra. Just started listening this morning. I'm not happy Bayley retained. I loved her in NXT, not WWE. I don't think she's ready for WrestleMania. I'm with that. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I think it's like a small fish in the big pond situation. Because I liked her in NXT too. Like I think I could tolerate her in NXT. Like she kind of made sense in a smaller intimate environment.
Mm-hmm.
The big pond that we're talking about WWE, and especially with her getting the victory at Mania, I'm just like, like I said last week, there has to be a back end to this. There has to be more to this whole thing. What happened on Monday? I forgot.
It was the shakeup, the superstar.
We're gonna talk about that. But what happened with Bayley's segment? I remember she was out there with Sasha. They were cutting the promo. And it seemed like everyone came out. Oh, wait.
Oh, my girl showed up.
Yeah!
Alexa Bliss showed up and shut it all down. Because Sasha Banks came out and she was like doing the whole, Bayley come out and let me congratulate you. And she was like, congratulations on winning, blah, 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 all this, that. And
I thought it was going to be a heel turn.
You were thinking you were going to get like the Sasha Banks heel turn that everyone's been wanting. And she's like, it was your time, but enjoy it because that's about to end. And then, Alexa Bliss's music hits and comes out and just like, she destroyed everyone. Everyone was just like,
But then, Mickey James, baby.
Mickey James comes out.
Mickey James came out. She did the damn thing.
And then your girl, Nia Jax, basically almost killed Charlotte like 8 times.
Yes.
She needs to chill.
Yeah. I know. I love you know I love me some Nia Jax. I love Nia Jax. But yeah, that I was like, damn, baby. That was the ice right there. That wasn't good.
It was like Jinder Mahal. Like, he concussed freaking Finn Balor, and he just came back.
Yeah. And I want Jinder to do really well, too. Like, I'm, like, kind of excited about him going to SmackDown. But, yeah, that kind of sucked, though. What's your take on Bailey? What Teresa's saying?
I don't like her. Never liked her. Not in NXT. Not on Raw. I don't understand her appeal. I don't get it. I don't like it. This all goes back to the... It's one thing to be a fan and then make it, but she like... That's all she ever talks about, right? Yeah. And she's just going to have the one character her whole career. Little 12-year-old baby. I made it. So, like, that's only going to get you so far before people, like, get sick of it.
Turn on you. So, dog, so she can, like, will she ever turn heel? Because
I don't think she can.
That's what I'm saying, because it seems like that she's, like, she really has, like, carved, like, a little hole for herself. Where she always has to be a face.
Right. Like, I'm a hugger. Like, I can't see it any other way. Like, with Emma, she did the whole, like, bubbles thing, was dancing and stuff. But then, like, she became a heel and it was, like, amazing. Right?
Yeah. Right.
I don't see that with Bailey. Bailey has, like, I don't think she can do it.
Dog, see, that's the thing is that I think, like, I'm at odds with you. I think if she did have if she was a heel... If she ever has a heel run, I think she will be 20 times better as a heel. Like, when you see her, like, when you watch, like, what's it called? Battleground, or, was it Battleground? Breaking Ground. We watch Breaking Ground, and when you watch, like, you know, like, other shit with her where she's, like, not in character, you can see she got a little, you know what I mean? Like a little sass to her. A little bitchiness to her, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, she can talk that shit, and I'm just saying, like, I think that she can be it, but I think that because she carved this little nook for herself that only she could fit in, and obviously she's making a lot of money because of that little nook she carved for herself because of merchandise and shit,
right?
And because, like, you know, the little kids, like, you know, like Corelli, Carlos' daughter. Loves her, you know. Kids like that love Bailey.
Of course they do.
And that makes Bailey money. That makes WWE money. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think if she had the opportunity, she could own this shit. She could probably be better as a heel. But they're probably WWE probably looking like, I don't know, you're making us too much goddamn money.
Right. It's a John Cena thing all over again. It's,
right.
You've done it for so long. Right. That's your character. You just kind of deal, like, and you just do, like, Sasha has that character where she can go back and forth.
Right,
yeah. You know, so she can do both. Charlotte can do the same thing. I feel like even Becky Lynch can do the same thing.
Mm. Oh, I would love to see Becky Lynch be a heel. Oh,
could you imagine a heel Becky Lynch?
I would love that.
Because I think she could do it. I don't think Bailey can do it.
You don't think she can pull it off?
No, I don't think she can. She's it. You know what it would be like? It would be like Natalia trying to be a heel. She sucks at it.
Natty?
I hate Natty as a heel.
Really?
I think she's terrible.
I think she's better as a heel in the face.
I think she's terrible in general. But because she always has that smirk, like she wants to smile and laugh because she thinks it's funny.
Okay.
You know, and so there's no, like, heel. Like, you look at Alexa Bliss, and, like, she plays a, like, and she's done both. She's done, like, kind of like the cheerleader thing in NXT, and then she kind of found, you know, a heel persona, and, she looks like a bitch. Like, yeah, straight up, you know, and she plays it great, you know?
Yeah.
Natty can't do it. Like, she's too, like... You know, she just has that, like, old soul about her, and, like, she just, she can't do it. Like, when she tries to be, like, mean to people and all that stuff, I don't buy it at all.
You know, the smirk, yeah, that doesn't help. But when she, you know, the difference is, when she's actually speaking and cutting promos, that's when she is golden. Because when she was having that program with Nikki Bella... Everything that she was saying was just like, damn. She said that? She did that? Yeah, she did that. So I think it's like, you know, a lot of times people flub up when it comes to, like, their verbals, and their nonverbals are much stronger, but I think it's the opposite with her, where her verbals are strong and her nonverbals are not that strong.
I guess. I'm really critical and tough on people, so, like, if I don't like you, I don't like you, and it's very hard to get back to the other side.
Wait, did we have that conversation on the air or off the air about her and TJ probably cheating on her?
I think that was an off-air topic. Sorry. Like, if Maurice and I could put a book together of the things that we talk about,
Oh my god, dude.
There would be, I don't know how many restrictions would be on it. It would be like parental advisory, TVMA, it'd be like NR, like not rated, like because you couldn't do anything with it. Like, man, you'd have to be like 45 and over to actually purchase it.
Man, motherfuckers would be going to jail. They read the shit that we said. Motherfuckers would be, man, oh my god. That'd be over.
Yeah, ain't nobody safe.
It'd be over for a lot of shit.
Yeah, when we're not recording, nobody's safe. Just remember that.
Exactly. If you listen to this, we talked about that. I was playing. But no, real talk, but like, yeah, so... I mean, like, I think, personally, like I said, I think she can do it. I just don't know if she ever will have a chance to do it. This is like you said, this is a John Cena situation. This could be a Ricky Steamboat situation where you're just money as a face, even though you are going to be, you know, you're going to be very bland as a face.
Yeah.
So.
What other WrestleMania comments do we have?
Yeah, going back to the whole John Cena thing, like Melissa said, you guys are such haters. And piggybacking on Melissa's comment was Carla Torres, our friend. So she kind of went in a little bit. And it's funny because, like, as I'm reading this, I'm hearing her voice as I'm reading this. So I was listening in chunks. I'm finishing it now. I don't know what I don't think. That I saw the proposal as you guys see it.
So of course not. She's a girl.
Right.
No, like, no shade to girls, but y'all look at that kind of stuff differently than we do.
Right. And that's the thing, is that our point last week was that, motherfucker, you know, dude messed it up for his girl.
Right.
So y'all saying she was faking or looking suspect, but again, he proposed. How he wanted... Why would she be falling out? LOL. Y'all make no sense, in all caps. And are hating. Because, number one, y'all said it was fake and she should have been more happy. And then, number two, you said it was on his terms? Overall, I think it was cute.
Oh my goodness.
And that's it. LOL.
Do you get cute?
Right.
You know what that means? That's like, oh, I got this girl that you should meet. I'm gonna hook you up with her. Is she hot? Oh, she's cute. No, right. that means she's buckled.
Right.
She's like no. Yeah.
She looks cute. Like a thumb.
Get
right.
out of here.
Right, exactly. Whenever a girl says, "Oh, she's cute,"
she's not cute. No, I'm good.
Stay her. Keep her away.
Cancel that date.
Thank you. Do you get what I mean? How y'all make no sense?
No!
You said... Now, I don't remember this analogy, but she does. You said she should have been extra happy, but then said it's like the Cub fans proposing to his girl at a Cubs game. What? Oh, I think I do remember that. Never mind.
No, you did say that.
Okay, all right. I forgot about that. So, she should be happy or not? No. She should be happy or nah? I'm confused. So I'm also wondering if she wasn't as thrilled as you guys claim she should have been. Really, he proposed at WrestleMania. Wait, hold on. So I'm almost wondering if she wasn't as thrilled as you guys claim she should have been, because really, he proposed at WrestleMania, which I guess was okay. But she probably like, really? This is original? Women be crazy, yo. Bitches be crazy, yo. LOL. Okay, I went back and re-listened. What the fuck you said? And she did write, what the fuck? That's how hood she is. And yeah.
Hey, hood.
Oh, oh shit. Carla. Carla, listen right now. She about to smack the shit out of the computer. Carla is tough. That's a tough chick. For real. That is one tough chick. So, I hope you playing.
Tough is different than hood.
Oh, no, she hood. Nah, nigga. She. Anybody who out there listen, who knows Carla Torres, y'all write us an email, Instagram post, Facebook post, whatever, about your personal experience of dealing with Carla Torres and how you're barely able to live to tell about it. because that motherfucker wild. I love you, Carla.
I know she throws hella shade at people.
Oh, dude, Hey, all right, I got a story for you in a second. And yeah, and finish off. And yeah, how could she be happy as fuck when John proposed on his terms of some lame shit? L-O-L. So, to sum it all up, Carla thought that we were on some hating shit, talking about how Nikki wasn't happy about the proposal. But then she re-listened to it and she realized that what we were talking about was the reason why Nikki didn't look like she wasn't into it was because that shit wasn't genuine.
Right.
They probably already had their own proposal, but John Cena had to make this shit about himself.
Right.
And that's where our problem was.
Right.
And so, like, you know, so the whole time, Nikki, and that's why Nikki the whole time when it was happening, she kind of had, like, this look on her face like...
like someone just farted and she just kept smelling it. That's what her face looked like.
Right. Like, I'm trying to get this shit over with. Like, I don't care. I'm trying to get this shit over with. I don't care. And plus, you know, she's a bad actor. So right, she can't act surprised.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I encourage people to watch that shit. She does not look like she's happy.
And we talked about it last week. This is all she's ever wanted.
Right.
Like, for me, if there was something that I've wanted my whole... I don't even know what it would be, you know, whatever I would want my whole life. But if I got it, I'm not just going to sit there and be like, oh, that's kind of dope. Like, I'm running around.
Hell yeah! Like,
you know, the Hardy Boys returned to WrestleMania and I ran around a bar. Like, I physically ran around the bar. Like, that's...
right!
You know what I mean? Like, that's all she's ever wanted was to be a wife and have children and have a family, and she gets it. And I'm expecting her to pass out,
yeah.
Like, you know, throw up because she's so nervous of what's going on.
Right,
something.
Exactly, because with that knowledge, dog. When you realize it was happening, and you know, of course, like it was like, oh fuck,
right,
you know, this is happening. Weren't you like, okay, I just want to see what Nikki, how Nikki's going to act to this because, you know, this, like you said, this is all what she wanted. There is an entire branch of Total Divas, as far as like a sub-story goes, that talks only about the issue between Nikki and John Cena not being able to get engaged.
Right.
And how bad she wants it. And this is why every girl, every woman... watch that show and rallies behind her because they want to see her and John Cena get married because that is a freaking subplot to the goddamn show. So because of that, you're watching Nikki the entire time, waiting for her to get, you know, show her reaction and show that, like, oh wow, oh man, this is happening,
right?
And you're not getting it,
right? Do people get more excited when The Bachelor gives them a rose than when Nikki Bella got proposed to?
You know what I'm saying? Right. And that show faker than wrestling.
Exactly.
But you know what? Like, because you mentioned Hardy Boys. Have you watched WrestleMania again since?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I watched it the next day. And even watching the next day, even though I knew the Hardy Boys were about to come out, were coming out, and when they came out, I still marked out watching it that Monday afternoon. I was still marking out, like, happy, like, oh my god, it's crazy. And then that's things that, like, even though Nikki had the real proposal, obviously she knew what was happening. We couldn't get, like, no type of life from you? Like, no type of, like, at least a little skip in the air?
Nothing.
Nothing, bro.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
She had this stupid look on her face the whole time.
Exactly. Like John Cena farted. Right. Or she farted and couldn't handle it.
She was all sweaty, so she had sweaty booty with a fart. She's nasty. But, real quick story. Let me preface this with saying this. Carla is, like, one of my best friends. Love to death. You know, we've done everything together. You know, we've gone out to dinner, we've gone to drinks, we've had vacations together. That is, like, my fucking road dog. Love to death. The first time I met her, I tried to holler at her. We worked for the same company.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked the night. I worked the second shift. I worked second shift downstairs, and she was working second shift upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was downstairs using, like, the because there was, like, a break room, like a cafeteria or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there was computers in there, and so she was on the computer at the break room. So I was in the break room as well with my friends, and I see her on the computer. I never really seen her, but I've seen her before once in a while, and you know what I'm saying? Like, so I never talked to her. So right. I'm with my friends. I'm feeling cocky. I'm feeling like, you know, like, I'm feeling like I'm, like, you know, the big nigga on campus and everything. And I'm just like, I'm going to step the old girl. Fuck it. I feel confident. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Got up, brushed my shoulder off a little bit, popped my collar a little bit, make sure my breath wasn't stinking. You know what I mean? Never is. Never will be. I go over there, you know what I'm saying, like, with my sway. I'm feeling good, I'm looking good, I'm smelling good. And I go to her, and I'm like, oh, shit, what did I say? I said something to the effect of, like, oh, god damn it, what did I say? Oh, and you know what, the thing is, she's listening right now, and she's saying what I said. Because she always brought that... They bring that story up a lot to make fun of me. Oh, I said some cornball shit, like what you doing down here, or you don't be doing nothing, or whatever, or some shit. You know how, like, I like to, like, you know, start by talking shit, and then she clapped back. All right. You know what? We're gonna be continue the story. Cause I'm gonna ask Carla what the rest of the story was. She can say it a lot better. I'm gonna continue with next week. But in the meantime, fellas, ladies, write us an email about the most wackest line a guy or a chick dropped on you when trying to holler at you, and we will read it on the air, and we will talk about it and you.
Ooh, that would be a good one.
You know what I mean?
And I'm trying to think of mine.
Yeah, right. Well, hey, give yourself a week, bro.
I know.
We can talk about that next week. We can be on some relationship type shit.
Oh, love line with the MDX podcast.
Oh, man, love line with MDX. but we'll continue that next week with our conversation about wackest pickup lines or some shit. Okay, we got another letter.
Another letter.
It's from Adrian Cobbin. This is the one we're supposed to read last week.
Oh, yeah.
We were both falling asleep after all that WrestleMania talk. Adrian Cobbin. All right. Hey, guys. I have a question for you. I have been watching wrestling for a lot of years. And one of the things I remember when the WWE said it cared about its fan. In return, it seemed like the fans cared about them. We cheered the good guys. We booed the bad guys. It was a beautiful relationship. Now, it seems like we as fans complain a lot, and they insult. And they insult because of it. And I guess I think he means, and they feel insulted because of it. My question is, Where did things go wrong? What was the opening shot fire that caused this rift? And is it possible to fix it, Adrian? So I think that he's talking about, like, the there is a disconnect between the fans and the promotion, where we will respond to, like, what the promotion would give us,
mm-hmm.
and the promotion would continue to, like, you know, kind of like satiate our taste and, like, mm-hmm. you know, and what we like in the product. But now there's a disconnect where the promotion is like, don't give a shit about you fans and what you like. You're going to get what we give you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what he might be getting at. Adrian, if I'm wrong, correct me. Write us and let us know. But that's how I think he's getting at, though.
Okay.
I believe. What do you think, bro?
I feel like there's a lot of factors.
Yeah.
Factor number one, we grew up.
Yeah.
We're older.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? Like, watching wrestling as a child, like, yeah, you're going to boo the bad guys and cheer the good guys. Like, you're just, that's how you're wired. You know?
Uh-huh.
You may have, like, that one or two people, like, I hated Hulk Hogan, but I was a Bret Hart fan. Yeah. Still a good guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I think we grew up, like, and we... Unfortunately, everyone that is a wrestling fan is also a secret promoter and booker because you think you know everything about it.
Sure.
So I think issue number one is we grew up and we learned about the business. Like, you know, we learned how it works, how it runs, who does what, who, you know, the majestic part of wrestling that, like, if you watch a little kid watch wrestling and, like, you just see them light up when things happen, mm-hmm. like, we don't have that as often anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like, I took my little nephew to go see Power Rangers, and he's 5, and this kid, like, during the fight scenes was, like, mouth open, jaw on the floor, just, like, he was so amazed by it all.
Yeah.
You know, and it was great for me to see because I was like, man, he's like super into this, you know, and the movie's doing its job, you know, it's to get, you know, people in there interested in what they're seeing and, you know, you're going to make a little bit of money off it. And so when I see little kids watch wrestling and how excited they are for stuff, like for me, I'm sitting there like, oh my goodness, is this really happening right now? You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. Yeah. But then every once in a while, you know, we have that. When the Hardys came back, you know, we kind of knew about it, but we kind of didn't know about it. And then it happened and you're just like, you know, like, oh snap, that's actually happening. That was a surprise moment, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like we've grown up and like, and the internet has also destroyed a lot of things.
Very true.
Because there's no secrets anymore. You know, it's, oh, well, this person was caught at this airport, and what's right. there? Raw's there, SmackDown's there, blah, blah, blah. You know, this person's contract is about to be up with, you know. And back in the day, like, they used those as storylines because there was no internet.
Right.
You know, so they actually talked about it. Bret Hart might not sign another contract, you know, blah, 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 and all this stuff. And so you didn't have an internet source to go to or a dirt sheet to read that said, well, his contract expires on January 24th, and, you know, he's been talking with this person and that person. Like, there's no secrets anymore. And so I think we're just jaded.
Yeah.
At like, there nothing is a surprise, and then when it's a surprise, it's just like, yeah, okay. Like, oh, I knew that was coming because I happened to be on Twitter or Reddit or Instagram or something, and... You know, I just happen to see that. And so it's so hard. That's why for me, like, if I can't watch something live, I get off everything.
Right, yeah.
You know? And you see my post. Like, I'm not watching wrestling right now. Don't talk to me.
Don't talk Leave to me about alone. Wrestling.
You know? Like, So I for me personally, I try to make it so that I still have those surprises. Like, I've stayed off of social media wrestling-wise ever since yesterday because I went to the Mariners game and I didn't get to watch SmackDown Live.
Oh, wait, you haven't watched it yet?
I've watched it since.
Oh, okay.
But like yesterday, so I stayed away because I didn't want to see who went where and all that gotcha. Stuff. And yeah. so, you know, I stayed away from it. And then I watched it today and, you know, pleasantly surprised at the things that I saw.
Yeah.
So, you know, stuff like that. But I think, like I said, I think we grew up and we learned a lot more about the business, the industry, how it works, and the internet has destroyed it for us.
Man, you never lied, man, for real. I think a lot what you said though is real. I think a lot has to do with age mostly,
mm-hmm.
and age is being as savvy as we are with getting information as quick as we are, as quick as we can get.
Right.
One thing though, I kind of notice with young fans now, and maybe this is not I'm not painting this with a brush across the canvas. I use my nieces as kind of like the litmus test in terms of what kids are responding to when it comes to wrestling. Because they love wrestling a lot. They're really into it.
How old are they?
One is 18 and the mm-hmm. other one is, what year is this? 2017? Mm-hmm. So she is 13?
Okay. So they're not like kids. Right. They're younger, but they're not like...
They're teenagers.
5, 6 years old.
Right. They're teenagers. Right.
Okay,
so,
okay.
But they're, like, really into it, though.
Right, but they're smart to it, at least.
Yeah. But only to a certain extent.
Right.
Because even though, like, they both, obviously, they love to be online and, you know, shit like that, they don't look at wrestling shit online. And when I talk about wrestling shit, I'm talking about the wrestling shit that you and I look at. Like, right. dirt sheet type right. stuff. Because there was one time we were hanging out, and I mentioned something about what was hot like that day or whatever. What I read online, I'm like, "Oh, did y'all hear that?" And they were like, "What?" Like their reactions were so like, damn, they're earth shattered. Like, are you serious? What? How do you know that? What? Don't lie. How do you know that? Who is it? And I'm just like, whoa. Yeah, I forgot. And I forgot that their beginning and end of wrestling is Monday Night Raw. Tuesday SmackDown. The pay-per-view on the network. Like, that's their beginning and that's their end. Mm-hmm. Talking smack on the network. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, so they're like 100% like kayfabe.
Exactly.
Right.
Total kayfabe. Like that. Like that. That they like. That's how. That's like where they lay there. You know. So they lay on everything with that.
Right.
Like today, for example, one of them posted on Facebook about you saw the SmackDown draft picks, right?
Yes.
Okay. She posted on Facebook about the New Day. Mm-hmm. SmackDown, and her caption with the article was, "Oh my God, are you serious?" And she was so excited about that,
mm-hmm.
and which I totally get, but it's like, yeah, because that is their beginning and end, you know, like so. Their excitement is kind of like how you and I were back in the day in the early 90s, you know, like when. We're watching Monday Night Raw on and freaking Bret Hart comes out and you're like, oh man, Bret Hart's on Monday Night Raw, get the hell out of here, what? You know? Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. we're freaking out because of that and shit. You know, so I think young people still kinda have that. But you know, but that's the thing though, is that but if you are very internet savvy, then you're gonna come to like kinda like where we are. Where it's you know, where it's kind of like we're almost jaded by all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we enjoy it, we're jaded by it at the same time. So that plays a huge factor, is that the believability factor is gone. And because of that, and like you said, we're all playing Tuesday Morning Booker every week, and we're always saying, well, you know what they should do?
Right.
You know what they need to do? Mm-hmm. You know they you know who need to turn heel?
Yep.
We do it naturally all the time. So, you know, like, we're always kind of, like, looking for, like, that. It's not even about, like, being surprised anymore. It's about being right. Like,
mm-hmm.
we just want to be right. We want to call it into existence, and we wouldn't be like, yeah, I called that shit.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that, like, I think that our ideology has really gone a different direction. It's like, and sometimes, Danny, I don't know if you do this sometimes, but I have to tell myself, Reese, chill. Just chill. Just watch the show. Relax. Try not to call it, quote unquote. Just relax and take in the product. Like, I have to tell myself that sometimes because I get so like, no, that's some bullshit because they didn't do it. This was wrong with the booking team. This is why they can't write. This is why they can't book. This is why they don't know how to call matches. And I'm just like, John, what happened to just watching the match and enjoying it? It's like, this is the one thing where kids get it right and grown folks get it wrong.
Right. See, for me, like, in my opinion, I don't feel like I complain about wrestling a lot. Like, I might disagree with the things that they do sometimes, but I don't sit there and, like, post on blogs or Facebook or things that are like, oh my goodness, I can't believe they did this and they should have done that. Like,
yeah.
I'm the kind of person where, like, I know they have a plan, and so I'm just going to see it out regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Whether, dude, I've had to watch Roman Reigns, like, headline 3 WrestleManias in a row, 2 of which that I was at live, you know? Like, and that's not how I would have booked it, but I was there, I watched it, and I take it as it comes, you know what I mean? Like, was I pissed that Roman Reigns beat The Undertaker? Yeah, but there was a reason for it, and so I'm going to watch it and figure out why. Was I pissed that Roman Reigns beat Triple H last year? Yeah, I was pissed. I was there, right. But I knew there was a reason for it. You know, and I always, it's just, it's funny because, like, I always compare wrestling to, like, TV shows and stuff, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, like, people who watch, I've never watched any of the shows, but I just, like, see it so often that I kind of put, you know, 1, 2, and 2 together.
Yeah.
So, like, I know, like, Walking Dead, like, a lot of people get killed off and stuff, and, like, I'll see people post, like, oh my goodness, I can't believe so-and-so died, and blah, 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 oh, why would you kill this person off? Like, I'm just like, why don't you just keep watching the show?
Yeah.
Because there, something might come up, there may be a reason.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't know. I've adopted that mindset of stuff when I watch things, like, I'm just, eventually I'm going to get an answer, and whether it happens on this episode or the next episode or in 2 or 3 months or whatever it is, like, I'm prepared that I'm going to get some sort of answer for it.
Right.
You know? So that's my outlook when I watch wrestling, is just something's going to happen. There's going to be things that I love and there's going to be a lot of things that I hate, but that's why I watch it, because I want to see how it's going to play out. I want to see what they're going to do. And I may be surprised by what I see, and I may be pissed about it, but that's what it's there for. It's there for me to be emotionally invested in this, and it's meant to get a reaction out of me.
Yeah.
And going to, you know, kind of piggybacking off of Adrian's comments, is I think WWE feels like they're just going to give you what they want. And whether you decide to like it or not, and we need to understand as well, is they're not catering to us.
Right.
Because they don't care about us. Right. They're caring about, you know, little Jonathan coming and buying the new Bayley shirt and buying the new John Cena headband. Like, that's where they're going to make their money off, because he's going to keep coming back. He's going to beg his mom and dad to go get the network. He's going to beg them to go buy the toy at Toys R Us, you know, buy the merch. Me and you, we have the choice to say, oh, WWE is in town, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
Or I do want to go. You know, we have that. We have that choice, because we, and so they don't care about us.
Yeah.
In that they know that they're either we're either going to be fully invested in it or we're just not going to care. Whereas, you know, little Johnny, he's going to do everything in his power to get that action figure, to get, you know, yeah, the headband, the hat, the shirt, the pants, the sunglasses. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's that WWE doesn't care. It's that they strategically know who to go after.
Who to target, yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. And, like, because the more I'm sitting here thinking about it, it kind of makes a lot of sense, because if you're WWE, your target, you know, the reason why your target is whom it is, it's for a twofold reason. One, because they know that the true money will come, the new money will come from the kids. You know, like you said, the ones who are saying, buy me the shirt, buy me the cup, buy me the headband, buy me the program. I want the action figure. I want the ring. You know, those are going to be like the fans that you want to target, because, you know, there's a lot of money that comes from them. They have birthdays, they have Christmas, they have Hanukkah, they have, you know, all that good stuff. But at the same time, though, you want to make it so this way Johnny becomes what Danny and Maurice are right now, where Johnny becomes a lifetime fan, and that you will always know that no matter what city Johnny's living in, and that when WWE comes to town, there's a good chance Johnny's going to be at the show. Johnny will take his son and or daughter. Johnny will subscribe to the network as well. So you always will have Johnny there. Mm-hmm. And because we, like, you know, you and I, Danny and Maurice, we aren't necessarily their target, because they're like, we already got Danny and Maurice. We already got them, but we need to make another Danny and Maurice as far as fans are concerned. So it's that. And also, at the same time, their focus more so is the non-fans. They're stockholders. Mm-hmm. They're investors. You know what I'm saying? Are getting the eye of people who aren't watching the product in the first place. So with all of that, though, it's like, they kind of have to, you know, like, not be as connected with the audience, because when you're too connected to the audience, it's gonna be too niche. Whereas WWE, I'm pretty sure they want to be as, you know, they want to be much more mainstream, much more connected. That's why we see what they do when it comes to, you know, they got the whole thing with Gronkowski,
so now
Al Roker, right. They got, you know, obviously NBC is like their, you know, like their affiliates. So, like, you know, they're always working together or whatnot. Doing the I'm not sure what the, I mean, I know, like, Coach said he's not going to do WWE anymore, but they have a relationship with ESPN right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, a lot of these mainstream outlets that they really want to cater to make sure that they have, you know, that they have these relationships. And so, of course, because of that, because of all that, we're the diehards that were you, myself, and Adrian standing as, you know, we're going to be casualties. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it's one of those things, because they know they can afford to not focus on us. And, you know, right. It's one of those things where it's like, you know what, I get it. I'm going to turn on, I know I'm watching USA every Monday night. I know I'm watching WrestleMania every first Sunday of April every year. I already know this is happening. I'm watching the Rumble. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's not going to change. So, and I'm cool with that, because I know where we stand as fans, and I know where they stand as a company. As long as I turn on my network and I see what I want to see, I'm good.
Yeah. Yep. Nope. I hear you. And it's funny, though, because, like, I think a lot of people, what gets me is people that, like, now I'm saying you don't have to go and watch every single promotion out there, but, like, the people that do complain about stuff, most of them are, like, only WWE watchers. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of really, really good wrestling out there. You just have to seek it out. But I feel like for those that complain, like, they're complaining because that's what's in front of them. so right. they can complain about it. Like, oh, I watched Raw. I thought it sucked. I'm going to complain about it. Mm-hmm. I watched Royal Rumble. I thought it sucked. I'm going to complain about it. Instead of saying, okay, I watched this product. It wasn't as what I thought it could be. I'm going to go try to find something else. Like, they just settle with it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is all I have. But it's not.
Right.
You know, there's other outlets, you know, that you can do, and there's so many other things that you can watch. Like, you can get Flow Slam if you want, you know, instead of getting the WWE Network. You can watch Ring of Honor. You can get New Japan World. You know, you can do it. You can subscribe to Defy Wrestling. They have streaming service.
Right.
Cheap plug for them. It's only $3.99 a month, you know. But...
Pay
but you know
bills,
what I mean?
Baby.
Yeah,
pay the bills.
there's other things out there.
Yeah,
and it's just funny because, again, wrestling is such a niche thing. But like, think about like if you a new show comes out, right? And you're like, I'm gonna give the show a shot. You may watch 1, 2, 3 episodes, and you're like, you know what? I don't like it. You're not gonna watch it anymore, and you're gonna go find something else.
Right.
And that happens more times than not, right? But with wrestling fans, all they do is sit there and they're like, this sucks. So I'm going to keep watching it and keep saying how much it sucks.
I'm going to keep watching it until it doesn't suck anymore.
But I think, but I don't think that's anyone's fault except for that person.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
because for whatever reason... I feel like their life is just that much so much more miserable or whatever that they can't go find an alternative or I don't know.
Right.
You know, because I'm not that person, so I can't speak to it. But I feel like there's an underlying issue that is, you know, maybe because they are that 40-year-old person that lives in their parents' basement. Yeah. I don't know, you know. You're a cliche wrestling fan, but it's, I will never understand the people that complain and continue to watch.
Oh yeah, exactly. Because by that point, it's just like, oh, you're just complaining just to complain. Like that's what
right.
You want to complain.
Right.
Like you don't want to be happy with what you're watching. Right. Yeah.
Like it makes no sense to me. Like people who stay at a job and they're like, I hate this. Then why are you there?
Seriously, for real. Yeah.
Because clearly you think something is better, so go find it.
Yeah. And or they think something is better, but like...
Right.
You know, but I think some people are just prone to be negative.
Which is true, too. I mean, I'm a hater. But... I mean, I got some positive in me too sometimes.
Yeah, but you're not. But the thing is, though, like you talk shit, but like you're not a miserable person, though.
Right, right.
You
right.
Like I've been around you. I've been around your family. I've been around your friends. You have no reason to be a miserable person. Like you have a lot of good people around you.
Right.
But I know you just talk a lot of shit, and that's just like that's your personality, whatever. It, you know that's whatever. But these are motherfuckers who really are sad individuals.
Right. Right. And I guess I would never understand. It's like being addicted to drugs. I'll never know what it's like.
Right.
Or, you know, having depression. I'll never know what it's like. And I can only... And I know people suffer from it, but I will never understand it because I don't go through it. You know?
Right. I mean, because you just don't have it. Right. You just don't
right.
Just, yeah, exactly. I know what you mean.
Yeah. Because I know it's out there. I know people are, you know, not happy. And maybe that's their outlet. I don't know. Like, wrestling is an outlet for me where I could just... get away from the realities of life and I can watch a show and, you know, just kind of get lost in it. And 3 hours later, I'm just like, what did I just watch?
Right.
It was kind of entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's how people cope sometimes, you know, you look at like bullies and stuff, you know, obviously they have an underlying issue, so they have to go take their aggression out on other people. Mm. Maybe that's it. I don't know. You know, maybe people who watch wrestling and like you said, it could be, they could just be negative people, you know, and they could just find that kind of, I don't know. Maybe it's that, maybe it's not. I'm around a lot of people that are like that way as well.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's exhausting to see.
Man, you ain't never lied.
Because it's like, in any aspect of life, if you're in a relationship, if you're in a job, if you're anything, if you are unhappy, why are you still there?
Yeah, that's real.
And I've seen so many people just become complacent, and they're just like, well, it's okay. I just hate it. And if it's okay and you hate it, that's not, it's okay. Right. Like, you need to do something about it. Like, you know, like, oh, I love him, but I don't really love him or her. Then why are you there?
Right.
I'll never understand that. Because for me, if I'm unhappy with something, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm going to go find something else. You know?
Yeah.
Anything. If I go to a restaurant and it sucks, and I'm not going to go back. Like, right. I'm done. I'm going to go find something else. If I'm with someone and, you know, I'm unhappy, I'm not going to just stick it through.
Yeah.
Like, maybe if it's something that's worth working out, then sure. But, you know, in the long run, like, is it going to be worth it? If it's worth it, I say yeah. But if it's not, like, just leave. Do something else. I'll never understand it.
Yeah. That's another form of self-hate, though. When people elect to keep themselves into a situation that's doing nothing but tearing them apart.
Right.
Like, that's another form of self-hate. And I know, like, you know, for the most part, like, a lot of times we kind of, like, we kind of, like, find our comfort zones, and we don't want to stray away from it, but when it gets to a point where, like, when it gets to that breaking point,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, where it's like, dude, you gotta get away from that shit, and people still remain,
yeah,
that's when it's like, wow, like,
right,
when it's trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that's when that's really jacked up. But yeah, man, but overall, though, I think, you know, it's just there are a lot of factors, like what we're talking about, with age, with you know, with the audience, with the objective of said audience. It's a lot of factors as to, like, why the focus is a little bit different. And who knows, you know, like, those kids who are watching right now, who, you know, those 8-10-year-olds who are watching right now, who you know, like, love the product, they probably are thinking, like, man, like, they probably are thinking the way how we used to think when we were being catered to. They probably think they're being catered to, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's only a matter of time until, like, that illusion kind of wears off. So you have to, like, look at things from a much more realistic perspective.
Well, going back to earlier when we were talking about Bailey, like, you look at Bailey's fans, right? Like, they're, you know, a lot of them are the younger girls, and then that's what they're shooting for,
right?
You know, and there's gonna come a time in, like, all the girls' lives where they're going to sit down and they're going to be like, you know what, like, that's all good and gravy, but, like, everyone grows up from that.
Yeah.
You know, everyone, most people would grow up from, you know, like, I wanted to be a dinosaur when I was young, and I'm not a dinosaur,
yeah.
But, you know, you grow up from that, and you learn, and all that kind of stuff. So I feel like a lot of people will go through that. And so, the other thing that we brought up as we were discussing this question from Adrian was, if you look at, like, NWO and all that stuff, Attitude Era, Stone Cold Steve Austin, like, he was a bad guy, but people loved him.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I feel like it was just like the attitude of that era where it was cool to hate the good guys.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they knew it, and so they kept it going.
Yeah.
You know, all the wrestling promotions, they knew it. They knew they hated NWO, and they knew that they were going to get cheered. So what do? Like, you bring more members in, and you're just like, you know, and they knew they were going to make money off it. So why not keep doing it? And I feel like they did that with Bullet Club. I feel like more recently, you know, Bullet Club had like 8 million members and they're still going, you know, and you just look at, I mean, like, you look at, like, the Broken Matt Hardy stuff where it was, you know, they just kind of ran with it. They knew it was kind of weird, but people kind of just flocked to it, and then they making tons of money off it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they see like what works, and when they see it, when they actually like come across it, and actually like land on it, then they're gonna ride with that.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's real though. It's crazy how in the Attitude Era there was like so there really weren't any like true faces if you think about it. Like even the faces were kind of gritty and kind of grimy and kind of dirty themselves. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny how there were like no true faces. It was all just like lots of shades of gray, basically.
50 shades to be exact.
And speaking of gray, a lot of news happened this week. So I know you know about this, bro. Laughing at the situation, I was laughing because that lady's voice is kind of funny to me. For, like, oh my god! Oh my god!
That lady,
oh
she's
my
a bit
god!
Much. Bit much for me.
It was kind of funny to me. Fam, what the fuck is up with United? G?
I don't know. Like,
dog. And you know the thing is, it's not even. It's not. Well, I mean, it is United, but I'm just like. Alright, you know, alright. It's one thing about United when it comes to, like, their policy and, like, how they structure things in terms of, like, how they handle overbookings. I think it's kind of fucked up because, and I've seen some people who, like, work for the airlines or who have worked for the airlines before try to tell me about it's policy to do overbooking. I don't get how that's policy. Like, I don't understand how, like, that's, like, common procedure or protocol to purposely overbook. Because I've never seen a hotel purposely overbook. I can't see myself if I'm at a hotel and I'm in my room sleeping and I'm watching the news. And someone come knocking at my goddamn door, talking about, Mr. Profit, we understand that you're in your room, we understand that you're in your jammies, that you're in bed right now, and you're about to go to sleep. However, we have some Marriott employees that need to use your room because they don't have a room right now. So we need to kick you out of your room. Can you spell fuck no? You know what I mean? Like, if someone were to come to you talk about, Danny, I need for you to get out your room, hell no!
Right, right.
And I'm just like, how is this any different with the airlines? So you purposely overbook, and you and my thing is like, this was just an example of what happens when you don't have a plan B. As far as the company is concerned. Because, you know, Danny, I know you've flown many times, hella times.
Mm-hmm.
I've flown a lot. We've seen situations where they get on the PA and they say, is someone willing to give up their seat? We'll put you up for the hotel tonight.
Right, right,
we'll
right,
give
right.
You like an $800 voucher, whatever the fuck, however it is. You've seen that before, right?
Mm-hmm,
But you've seen people volunteer, though, right?
Yeah.
We've seen that, but I've never seen personally, like me personally, I've never seen it where no one volunteered. And I think, like, this is a situation where they weren't prepared for what to do when no one volunteers. And when someone is not, when they do their little random, quote unquote, their little random selection, said person who was randomly selected is not willing to give up his seat. Now, have you seen that before?
I've never seen a random selection before.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never
seen it get that far.
No. I've never seen that before, ever.
Right.
So this whole situation is fairly new to me.
Yeah.
You know, because I've seen the, hey, you know, we've got this and that. Let's, you know, if you know you're willing to do this or whatever, then we'll make sure it all gets right. Here's my thing on it, because I'm so my whole thing is, and I'm a very like customer service centered person.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're an employee, like, you wait.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have paid money to be on this flight. So if you're an employee, I'm not making money off you. Right. So you're nothing to me right now.
Yeah.
You get on the next flight. And from what I understand, that's what a lot of, like, standby flights are.
Yeah.
Because a couple times... one of my exes, her mom works for Alaska, and, you know, she was like, hey, if you ever need a, you know, ticket or something, just let me know, and, you know, we can get you where you need to go. She's like, just know that you fly standby, so if there's an open seat, then you can be on that flight. If not, you just have to wait till there's something that's open.
Right.
Which I understand, because I'm not paying for it.
Right, exactly.
But it's like... I don't even know why it would even escalate it to that. So you're basically telling me that United doesn't care about their customers because their employees are more important and they need to get on this flight or whatever it is.
Right.
So to me, that's just, I'm never going to fly through you, ever.
That's what I'm saying, man. And that's why it's so wild to me, because like you said, I'm like, wait, so you're going to kick off the people who actually went into their pockets and paid the damn money. So this way you accommodate some people who are getting comps?
Right.
Like I don't understand, like, why that how does that make any sense? And what's crazy to me, and here's my thing, where in the hell is it say in the handbook where police can come on there and kick your ass? Because that's basically what happened to the homeboy to the doctor.
Didn't they release some statement today that said that they're not going to do that again? Obviously, they had to say that, right?
Oh, right, exactly. we're not gonna beat ass the way how we did to the doctor man. Oh yeah, I mean exactly. They're gonna definitely say that shit. But I'm just like, when are these motherfuckers gonna be held accountable for this shit? Because right. you saw what his face looked like. That shit was not normal.
No, not at all. Did you see that one thing though, where like he has some past record?
Oh, dude, that's a man.
Which I understand. You don't know that prior, right?
What?
So you can't, like, people can't use that. I understand that, because right. You can't just walk off the street and see you and be like, oh, like, I'm gonna do this to you, and then later on find out that you murdered someone and then treat you differently. Like, obviously, that's not. That's, you know, but I see a lot of people, like, not justifying, but using that as like, oh, well, he has this and that.
Thank
and
it's you. Like,
well, you didn't really know that before.
But here's my thing, though. And first of all, when I saw that, I'm like, damn, that's fucked up. They really treated him like he a black man or something like that by pulling up the dirt from the past history. That's real fucked up. But my thing is, though, is like, how is whatever gambling issues he had or whatever was in his past, what the fuck does that have to do with the flight situation? What does that have to do with him getting his ass kicked for not refusing a seat?
It's a deterrent, is what it is.
Oh, exactly. It creates a narrative. It creates a narrative so this way he can be vilified. And I did. I was talking to somebody the other day. I put on my conspiracy theory hat. And I'm like, I would not put it past United for, you know, United has lots of billions of dollars, and they threw six figures at some PI talking about, hey, dig up some dirt on this guy so we can change the narrative up. And they got the best PI. He was able to turn it around in a few hours, and like, boom, here you go, gambling addictions. And suspended because... he got his license suspended because of gambling, and
That's why he can only work like one day a week or whatever. And that was another thing too. They were saying, well, he's not a real doctor because he only works one day a week. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. He went to medical school, all right? He went to medical school. He earned his credentials. He earned his status. Shut the fuck up. All right, I don't give a fuck if he was a janitor at Walter B. Mosley Junior High School. All right, no one deserves that type of shit. If you are in a situation and you really have, because the thing is that here's the thing. What happened on Sunday with that man? That's an anomaly, because like what you and I just said a few minutes ago, Danny, was that normally whenever we're in the flight and people like they overbook and they need to like you know have someone gone to give their seat, people normally do it. So we're talking 9 times out of 10, people will normally give up their seat. The one time I attend when it happens when no one wants to give up their seat, then oh well, it is what it is. It is what it is. There's nothing that can be. That should be where the wall comes up. It is what it is, and you gotta tell those 4 United employees, I'm sorry, no one's giving up their seat. You're gonna have to catch the next flight.
Mm-hmm.
It's only right.
Yeah.
So all I know is Dr. Homeboy is gonna get paid. It probably ain't about the money. It's about the principle. But he needs to.
It's always about the principle
and the money. But I saw someone say,
so he can go gamble.
Right. Oh, that's bogus, right? I saw someone say he needs to throw in that lawsuit or some shit like the settlement. The settlement needs to say like. All minorities fly free for the next year or some shit. Every minority flies for free.
Hey, that's the thing, though. No one's going to fly United anymore.
And because of that, that's why United is going to put out some crackhead-ass prices for the tickets.
And still nobody will go.
Oh, no. You know Muffles will go. If you get a round trip ticket from Seattle to Miami... for only $60 round trip, $75 round trip, you're flying that motherfucker.
Debatable. It's a principal thing again. But I only fly Alaska anyway, so.
If you find, all right, I'm gonna settle for you, Danny. I'm gonna settle just for you, Mr. Dang. The deal is from Seattle to New Orleans, Louisiana, no blackout dates at all. Any time you want between now and the next 3 years. And we all know what's happening in New Orleans within the next 3 years. And you only pay $55 round trip. $55 round trip. Are you taking it? Or are you staying with principle?
I'm staying with principle because I can get a cheaper flight through Alaska.
The 55 round trip?
Yeah.
How?
I got miles.
I'm about to say, who you fucking?
No, I got miles, man. Like, I got miles. I fly for like $5.
$5?
Yeah.
What kind of shit you own?
You just pay tax.
For real?
Yeah. Miles cards are the best, bro.
Damn, how you get that?
You just sign up for one.
Is it like
it's like a credit card.
Oh, I was gonna say, is it like a jewel preferred card, or is it a credit card?
It's a credit card. So, you would probably use like a Southwest card because you're in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
See, our hub is Alaska, so I just get the Alaska card, yeah. And I basically can take an Alaska flight from anywhere. So, like, my flight to LA when I go down there for New Japan was, like, $6.
Damn! Damn. And what's the tax you pay?
That's what it is.
Wait. So you were on the website. You said, okay, I'm booking my flight from July. Was it July 1st?
Yeah.
July 1st through July 7th. Because I'm going to L.A. Mm-hmm. L.A., big city of dreams. Everybody in L.A. Everything in L.A. ain't always what it seems. And when you get to the checkout point where it says, click here to check out. Or click here to complete your process.
Mm-hmm.
The grand total says $6.36.
It's $5.60.
Wow.
I'm about to send this to you right now. I can't make this up.
Dog, my dick would get hard if I ever see that on my total for a round trip flight. Excuse my language.
There's the. I just texted it to you.
If you're for real, this is gonna be the the motherfucking cover art. Cause I ain't never seen no shit like this before. Hold up. Wow. You ain't playing.
Why would I lie about that? So the way that it works though is for my Alaska card,
damn,
whatever money I spend on the card will transfer into miles as well, right, depending on like where I use it. So usually what they say is like every dollar that you use is a mile, and then if you go to like preferred places, you may get like double miles or whatever the case is.
Right.
And then any flight that I book that I actually pay for, so full price ticket. So if I'm flying from like here to Chicago, right, it's however many, it's like 1500 miles or something like that.
Yeah.
Then if it's a full ticket price, when I fly there, I also get those miles back, right? So if I'm flying 1500, I'm getting 1500 as well. But because I booked my flight through miles, I don't get those when I fly because all I paid was taxes. I didn't pay the full price for it.
Okay, but like, don't you have to like accumulate the miles first?
Yes.
Okay, so how long have you been working on this?
I've had the card for like a year.
For a year?
Yeah.
So this doesn't include all your flights to Australia?
No. I literally just opened the card like a year ago.
Wait, you opened that card a year ago?
Yeah.
And you a year later you're over here playing $5 flights?
Yeah, and Alaska just lowered their minimum for flights. So back in the day, A one-way ticket would be like 25,000 miles.
Right.
Right. So you would have to fly 25,000 miles or basically almost spend 25 grand to get like one flight.
Yeah.
So now they've lowered it to like 7,000 miles for a one-way, depending on where you go.
Huh.
So, yeah, just so, like, when I fly, I won't get those miles because I used my miles on it to pay for it instead of paying for, like, a full-price ticket.
So, when you sell for the card, do you start off with miles?
So, they gave me, like, a 25,000-mile bonus when I opened it.
I guess I'm just trying to like figure out where's the shoe drop where you're actually paying for the shit.
So like, what it comes down to is So you have a couple options, right? So let's say I sign up for the card. They give me the 25,000 bonus miles, right?
Right.
And then I go and I book a flight to Chicago, and instead of using my 25,000 miles, I pay full price for it. So I pay like $350 or whatever it is.
Right.
So that $350 that I just spent, that will, one, convert into miles as well. And then I will fly, and whatever mileage that is, that converts into miles as well for me. So it just keeps stacking, right? So then I'm like, oh, I'm going to go back to Chicago. I have 50,000 miles built up. My round trip is going to be 25,000 miles, right? So I use my 25,000 miles. So now my balance went from 50 to 25 because I've used the 25.
Right.
All I pay for is the tax on it. However, when I fly to Chicago this time, because I used miles, my accumulated miles won't happen because I've used miles. I didn't use money to pay for it.
Gotcha.
Right? So gotcha. That's where they get you, because most people, they'll just keep spending money to stack it.
Yeah.
And then when they have hella miles, then they'll start traveling and all you do is pay tax.
Yeah.
So that's where they get you pretty much, right? Because so you can use your miles, but then once you're at no miles, then you have to start paying again.
Right.
So that's kind of the balance of it all.
Man, I swear, like, I've known about frequent flyer miles since, you know, for a long time, and to me, it's always like that's what rich people do, and yeah. Yeah, you're proving that.
The nice thing is, so for me flying through Alaska, and since I'm an Alaska member, like, I get free checked bags. Mm-hmm. So, nice. Like, my cousin Teresa, when we went to San Diego for our family trip,
yeah,
she usually flies through Southwest, but she was trying to get on the same flights as me. And when we got to the airport, like, she checked her bag, and I was like, oh, you should have told me. I could have let you check it for free.
Right.
Because she wasn't a member. She had to pay the 25. So on the way home, I said, oh, I'm checking a bag. And so she got it for free.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
And then, like, my upgrades are cheaper. So, like, when I flew home from San Diego, I upgraded to, like, the seat with, like, more leg room.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And that upgrade normally is like a $50 or $60 upgrade.
Yeah.
And mine was like $16.
Nice.
So nice. And then with Alaska, like, when you hit certain tiers, like, you get like more perks. Like, I don't travel that much. So I'm not like high up there at all. But like, mm-hmm. when you hit like certain tiers, like, you have like priority boarding. Or, you know, like, free first class upgrades and this and that. And so right. It gets pretty intense. And then once you hit like certain tiers, like, you can't even, like, most times you hit a tier and it lasts for a year and then you have to redo it again. But like, when you get to like the top tiers, like, you hit it and that's like you for life. You can't lose it, which is kind of cool. But that's people who, like, they have a million mile club.
I was about to say, man, what kind of shit they got, man? They got,
yeah, like, if you hit that, like, over, like, you're good. You're like, you are sick.
It's like, when you get to that point, it's like, what the fuck are you flying here for? Just buy a jet, buy your own private plane, bro. For real, quit embarrassing us. Seriously, you're making us all look stupid. You know what I mean? At least that's how I'm feeling.
Right.
Got champagne in the air, but Yeah, man, that's some bullshit with United, and it's funny seeing all the people who are caping for both United and for the cops who did this bullshit. I'm never for anything that shows any type of a threat to the public. and this shit is a threat to the public, and in the end, especially with United being in the interest of their, just looking out for their own interests and their own personal benefit as far as it being a corporation, I feel that they're handling this very poor. It took them this long for them to actually, like, you know, give out a much more heartfelt statement, where the first two statements were full of bullshit, and mm-hmm. they were basically putting, you know, victim blaming and everything. So, so yeah, man, you know, seriously, United, lick a dick. The cops who did it to Dr. Man, lick a dick. And all you capers as well, too. Suck an ass. Because I just don't get how I just don't understand, like, where the freaking impulse is where you say to yourself, well, he should have followed procedure. Motherfucker was following procedure. He was asked, can you give up your seat? Do you want to give up your seat? He said no. He was given an option. He said no. He chose left when all y'all, like, choose right. But my thing is, though, and this is all the capers out there, all the people who always say, if you just respect authority, you wouldn't be in this situation in the first place. If it was you, if it was your mama, if it was your son in that situation, you would not be, oh, well, mama, you deserve to get your ass kicked. Oh, well, sonny boy, you deserve to get your butt beat for what you did. You didn't respect officer friendly. Fuck y'all. For real. Can't stand y'all, man. Get on my damn nerves. Got me worked up, man. Real quick, I want to play something for you. I thought it was very interesting. Did you listen to the new Joey Badass?
No.
Great album, by the way. Great, great album.
I probably won't like it.
True. No, yeah, you probably won't. it's very socially conscious.
Yeah,
especially with today's political climate. So it's more on that tip. There are some bangers on there though, so I can't even front. But Joey Badass was on Hot 97 the other day. He did an interview with Ebro in the Morning, and he was talking about the current state of hip hop, and he was talking about just kind of like in general, because hip hop doesn't just start and stop with just music. It's the entire culture of everything. And he got into a little bit of a discussion, and I'm going to play it real quick. I thought it was really interesting, and I kind of want to touch on this real quick. Here's Joey Badass.
That my family and shit, but it's just something that I wanted to say to the people and get out there. New York Radio. We need the new young Ebro. We need the new young Funk Flex. We need the new Peter Rosenberg, man. Y'all holding their seats, man. Just let them at least grow.
Take me out.
Let them grow under y'all, though, yeah, man. Let them grow under y'all, because y'all keeping this shit a certain way. And New York Radio, in my opinion, hasn't really grown too much in the last couple of years. It stayed the same. Everybody else is beating us out now. Like, you got Atlanta killing it, LA killing it. You know why? Because they got young people involved, and they're getting the inner cities involved. They're supporting their hometown artists on some other shit. Not just, like, supporting their hometown mainstream artists. They're supporting their hometown artists undeniably, no matter what. You know what I mean?
Well, so, the problem is fundamentally...
No, I don't want to hear no problem. I just want to say what it is, you know what I mean? Because I know the problem.
No, but it's not about the people. It's not about having new people. It's about we have generally in this city, not even just the last few years, like 10 years. Not really gotten behind. Like, LA and Atlanta have been on supporting their own.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting because it made me kind of, like, wonder. When you take into consideration, think about what we're doing right now, Danny. Like, what you and I are doing. We're doing a podcast. 15 years ago, this would have been inconceivable. You know, think about, you know, me calling my best friend up, us recording our conversation, and putting it out for the entire world to listen to. We're basically just having a freaking phone conversation with everyone listening to our conversation. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Something like that 15 years ago, not even conceivable, you know? But something like that right now, very common, and it happens, and right. It's very realistic. It makes me wonder, radio, when it comes to podcasting, when it comes to SoundCloud, when it comes to YouTube, when it comes to Vimeo, and when you think about young artists and, you know, what we're talking about earlier about, you know, being very savvy and whatnot, it's almost like you gotta wonder, you gotta figure yourself. Radio will when it is radio on life support right now. Like, is it like only a matter of time, maybe within the next decade, where radio is just completely phased out? I never thought I would see the day where cable was becoming less and less of, like, was losing its popularity, where more people were cutting the cord. You know, like, when you met someone like 10 years ago who said, I got rid of my cable, you look at them like, man, what a fucking loser you are. But now, cutting your cord, getting rid of cable, that's almost becoming the move now. Like, people want to get to that point where they can get rid of cable completely, and they can just stream everything 100%. Like, they want to be in that comfort zone where that becomes their normality. That wasn't even a thing before, but now that's becoming a thing. You know what I'm saying? Think of landlines, dog. Folks don't have, like, I know I have a landline, but folks, generally speaking, don't really have landlines anymore. They only have their cell phones, and that's it. Like, no more landlines, dog. Back in 93, that wouldn't have even been a thing to think about. And that's why I'm just like, landlines, damn, they're obsolete. Cable, on the road to being, one day, obsolete. Radio has to be, like, within that realm somewhere. It's gotta be, dog.
Maybe.
Let me ask you this, alright? We have access to so much stuff. We have access to, you know, to all these sites, to all these ways of being able to get information and to be able to listen to music, uncensored, and be able to get news. Why is radio still like? Is radio only like, you know, is radio only still in our lives because we were so used to it? But it's gonna be the generation after us that looks at radio and says, "Get the fuck out of here! I don't know what you are. You were around for my uncles and my parents. Get out of here." Are we the last generation of radio?
I don't know. I guess I've never really thought about it.
You know, like, when was the last time you turned on the radio, dog? Real talk.
Today?
Okay. All right. I'm with you. Right, you turn on today. But think about your nephew who you took to go see Power Rangers. When he becomes 15, 16, 17 years old, is he going to turn on the radio, dog?
Maybe in his car.
Or is he going to just throw on his streaming service?
Not if you got an iPhone 7 and you're trying to charge your phone. That's the only reason I had the radio on.
Uh-huh.
It's because I was charging my phone, and I don't have a headphone jack, so I can't aux and charge at the same time.
Okay. Well, generally speaking, how often do you listen to the radio? When your iPhone is fully charged, when do you listen to the radio?
I guess it just depends on the mood I'm in. In the morning, I still listen to radio. Because some of the local stations have, like, funny morning shows that I'll listen to.
Uh-huh.
Like, on my drive to work.
Yeah.
So, I almost listen to radio maybe on a daily basis. Probably 4 out of 5 days that I drive to work, uh-huh, I'm listening to the radio.
Okay. I guess to me, I'm just thinking, like, I just don't know if it's going to last. I don't know if the generation after us, the kids who now are 17 years old, are they listening to the radio right now? Like, are they saying, I'm putting on, what's the hot station out there?
There's a few, I guess. 93.3?
I'm going to put on 93.3 and listen to the hot shit. I doubt they're saying that.
Maybe. Maybe some people do. Maybe some people don't. I think it just depends on who you are.
Maybe. Look at these. Real quick, I'm looking at all these damn Cubs. Ring stand. And that was the thing, like, I was asking a friend of mine the other day, I'm like, because she was like, yeah, the ring ceremony is on Wednesday. I'm like, wait, what the fuck was Monday? Oh, that's when them raising the banner. Why couldn't they do that shit the same day?
They're doing two different days?
Yeah. They did they raised the banner on Monday. They got the World Series trophy and parade and walked around the field with it. And they did the whole pictures and galore and fireworks. And then said that was Monday, dog. And then tonight they got their rings, so they had to do an entire ring ceremony. Show me your rings. Here's the ring. Here's get the team picture together. Show us your rings. Ring, 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 ding, dong, ring. And I'm just like, why couldn't they do all that on Monday night? Oh, it's gotta be two nights. For what?
Get people in seats.
Motherfuckers have moved on. Except for man, he's damn cool. I can talk about Cub fans. Anyway.
It's to get people in seats is what it is.
They'll put butts in the seats.
It will, though. But think about it. Think about it, right? So, you're, let's say you're a lifelong Cubs fan, right? And then they win the World Series. And you go opening day, home opener, right? And they're like, hey, we're going to do, you know, this day, that day, whatever. That person is going to want to go and buy tickets to every single day. Like, so last year for the Mariners, Griffey was inducted to the Hall of Fame. And after his induction ceremony, they had 3 days in a row that were Ken Griffey Jr. days. And it was a different giveaway every day. And every single person that I know who went all 3 days.
Well, okay, but you know, the difference with that, though, I get that because at least as a fan, you were leaving the stadium with something tangible. So someone who's like a hardcore Mariners fan, they went all 3 days this way. They can like put it like on their bookshelf, on their collector's, their collector shelf to show. Here is all three of the figures we got for Ken Griffey Day Jr. All three of them right here. So that's something tangible, you know? This is something you're just watching. And
But you got the memories of it. You got the experience of it. Yes, I understand where you're coming from. They could have made it one day. Just get it all out. But if you do that, so this is how I look at it, right? Mariners opening day was on Monday, and it was like sold out, 40,000, right?
Uh-huh.
Opening day. I went last night, the second day.
Yeah.
There was probably like, I don't know, 15,000 people there.
What, you said 15,000?
Yeah.
So it dropped.
Where, oh, yeah, by more than half. But that's how, and so, because they make such a big deal about opening day, right? It's opening day. If you go to the second day, it's not opening day. So that's how I see it on the Cubs side is, yeah, we're going to do the banner one day, and you're like, dope. And then the next day we're going to do the ring ceremony, and you're like, well, I got to go to that too because they won. So that's kind of how I see it.
And is the next game going to be we're going to give out jackets to everybody who won? We're going to give out members-only jackets to everybody?
Maybe. They still make those?
For Cub fans. The next day after that, we're gonna give out shoelaces to the Cubs to the Cubs for winning the World Series.
This just sounds like a salty White Sox fan talking right now.
Whatever, motherfucker. Whatever.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Whatever, man. You know what? It's because like the bravado of Cub fans in Chicago right now is so egregious. Like they are just so arrogant. It's like, Like, they're arrogant. You should see the fuck.
Okay, so you live in Chicago. I expect that. You should see the Cubs fans that live in Seattle all of a sudden.
There's Cubs fans out there?
Dude. So, I was going to a Sounders game the other day, and... okay, you want to talk about random? I'm walking to the Sounders game, and I see this guy dressed in full Kansas City Chiefs garb. Like, I was like, it's not even football season.
right!
But dude had a beanie, he had like a poncho on, he was holding a jersey, and I'm like, is this dude homeless? What he has to wear? I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I turn the corner, and then I see a guy wearing a Cubs hat, Cubs jacket, Cubs everything. It wasn't even baseball season yet, and I was like, oh, okay, this is awkward. I turn the other corner, and then I see another guy wearing a Kansas City Chiefs jersey.
What?
And I was like, what the hell? Am I missing something?
Right. Like,
I was like, are the Sounders playing the Chiefs tonight?
Bro,
I had no idea what was going on.
Football is football.
So then last night at the game, I can't tell you how many people I saw wearing Cubs gear.
Really?
And I was like, where did you all come from?
Right.
Like, my whole thing is, I hate, and we've talked about this before, I hate mixing stuff. Like, the Mariners are playing the Astros tonight. Yes. That was their series this week.
Yeah.
So if you're going to the game, I'm expecting you to wear a Mariners hat or an Astros hat.
Right, yeah.
That's what I'm expecting. I'm not expecting to see anything else, but I show up, and lo and behold, I saw people wearing Giants gear. I saw people wearing Orioles gear.
That is weird.
I also saw a man wearing a Oakland Raiders shirt.
Oh, man. Like what? Especially the Oakland Raiders cat. Like, before you left the crib, you had to have, like, given yourself a final look. What told you, yeah, this is acceptable to go to a Mariners game in?
I don't know.
Like,
because first of all, your team just moved to Las Vegas.
Man, right.
So right. You better get a new shirt.
Yeah.
I don't, the only sport that I'm okay with people like mixing up is hockey.
What's that?
I don't know. I just feel like at a hockey game, you can wear anything as long as it's a hockey jersey.
Really?
I just feel like that's acceptable.
Not in the playoffs, though.
No, not in the playoffs.
Yeah. Wait, so, really? Why hockey, though?
I don't know. I feel like you can just wear, like, a hockey jersey, and it's okay. It doesn't matter whose team it is or where you're at.
Huh.
I just feel like it's okay.
Interesting.
Because it's hockey. Hockey's such a niche thing, like, I feel like. Yeah. Everyone watches baseball. Everyone watches football. Everyone watches basketball if you have a team. Not a lot of people watch hockey.
Yeah.
Maybe different in Chicago because you guys have a decent team, but we don't even have a team in Seattle. Yeah. So, but as a Capitals fan, like, if I'm going to a game, obviously I have Capitals gear to wear. But like, I don't know. I just feel like it's naturally okay to wear any type of hockey jersey to a hockey game.
Funny. I guess I could see that working with, like, you go to like one of those was it IHL? Like the, not the minor league of hockey, but like the league that's like one under the NHL. Like, if you go to like one of those games, I can see it's kind of, okay, yeah, if you're at an IHL game, then yeah, any hockey jersey is kind of like fair game, whatever. Because, you know, you're there. But I don't know, I figured that like that same rule would apply with hockey for some reason. I couldn't see myself like wearing anything else outside of that.
Oh, I wouldn't, personally.
Yeah.
But I won't judge you if you do, type of thing. But let me catch you, you know, at a Seahawk game playing the Bears, and you're wearing like a Redskins jersey, I'm gonna be concerned.
It's like, what made you say that? That's okay. Like that's what I'm always thinking. Like, how did that make the cut for today?
Bro, you have no idea, like, how much I think about that when I see when I see it happen.
Yeah.
Like, when I see, I just, I remember when I was in Australia, we were walking around one day, and I saw this dude that was wearing, he was wearing, like, a Kobe Bryant jersey.
Oh, God.
Right? Which is fine. We can wear a Kobe Bryant jersey. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant jersey. He had, like, LeBron shoes on. And then he was wearing, like, a different team hat. And I was like, somewhere along the lines, you woke up this morning, you put this on, and then you looked in the mirror, and you're like, I'm so dope right now.
I'm killing it.
Like, I was just like, I won't wear, like, something that's, like, a different shade of the same color that I'm wearing. Like,
yeah, you still want to kind of, like, stay within the same, you know what I mean? Right. Like the same area of, like, oh, it just goes together. Like, don't, like, overmatch, but you still want it to, like, have a nice flow.
Right.
Where it makes, like, sense.
We don't live in the Cameron days anymore. You know, the Nelly days where we have to fully match everything.
Right, right.
But it has some decency.
Right. I'm not with that at all. Not with it. But yeah, so, I know, it's crazy shit. But anyway, it looks like that, looks like we're gonna call it a night, y'all. And, yeah, so hit us up if you like this episode, you hate this episode, let us know. Let us know what you think. Also, send us those emails about the worst type of, like, holla at. Worst type of, like, you know, pickup line. Worst type of just, like, you know, just some cornball shit that some male or some female threw at you while you're at the spot, at the club, at the bar, whatever you're at, and everything. Let us know what your little story is, and we'll read it on the air. We'll show you some love. We'll say your name and everything like that, and do all that good stuff. And we'll share our experience as well, too. Or if you want to write us and talk about anything, just whatever, you know, hit us up, and we'll make sure we read that on the air. And hit us up on iTunes, follow us on iTunes, like subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, that would be very nice if y'all did that. Follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, MBX Podcast, you can find us anywhere. We're on Podomatic, follow us on Podomatic as well too. And yeah, and keep in the loop of everything. So we'll make sure we keep it going. All right, Danny, my man, it's been a pleasure, brother.
Always.
And we will holler at y'all next week.
Peace.
Peace.